Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Perry Township Board of Supervisors. We have a regularly scheduled meeting for Tuesday, December 21st, 2021. It is now about 7:06 p.m. I'll note for the record that the board met an executive session to discuss legal matters, legal privileges, and property issues. And that executive session began at 6 p.m., concluding just at approximately 7:03 p.m. So we're calling the meeting to order. The first item on our agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, so we ask everyone to stand. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Crispin, would you please conduct the roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Corton?
Here.
Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
And Supervisor Nunn?
Here.
There are four present, Mr. Chairman, and one absent.
Yeah, for the record, I note Mr. Wyckoff is on vacation, and so he's unable to attend this evening. But we do have a four members, and thus a quorum, and we will proceed accordingly. Before we get to our first item on our agenda, which is visitor or public comment, announce sort of the normal housekeeping announcements. Although it's posted within the meeting room, I would advise all persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape or record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. Now that dovetails into our visitor or public comment sort of ground rules. We invite members of the public to come forward to the podium to introduce themselves by stating their first name, their last name, and their address. And then we ask that folks limit comment to about 3 minutes. That allows us to get through the fairly lengthy business items on the agenda. If you get to the 3 minute point, anyone wishing to speak, either the first public session or second public comment session, I'll gently just sort of prod you along to finish up. But the visitor public comment session is an opportunity for any resident to place comment into the record, to make the board aware of a concern or an issue, and to place that concern or issue comment fashion into the record. And so with that, I'm going to open it up to the floor. Anyone wishing to come forward for public comment at this time?
Linda Heyer, 2221 Rally Road. 3 years ago, I was at a meeting that was very eventful as the township voted for a moderate tax increase and for the community center where it's came in way over budget. A lot has changed, and I just want to say, over those 3 years, I didn't think we'd be here, but I believe there's one gentleman here that we can all attest is guided you very well. Thank you. That's all I want to say.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Iyer. Anyone else? All right, as I said, there's a second public comment session at the end of the meeting, and again, all are welcome. That brings us to the next item on our agenda, which is the consent calendar. Under the consent calendar for this evening's meeting, there are three items: the adoption of the Board of Supervisor meeting minutes from December 7, 2021, financial performance securities identified as B1-4, it's the release of the financial security provided for the stormwater management plan for the Up to Grove Pool Project S-2019-015. And lastly, the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $1,518,336.44 and payroll in the amount of $299,937.33. We can take all items in one motion for approval, or we can take each item separately. That is the board's discretion. So at this time, I'll open it up to the floor for a motion.
I'll go ahead and offer a motion that we accept items A, B, and C on the consent calendar.
Very good. Thank you. Motion made by Ms. Court to approve all three items of the consent calendar. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Ms. Nutt. Any discussion?
Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the motion to approve the consent calendar items for this evening's meeting is approved. That takes us to new business. Under new business, A, 1 through 6, the consideration of Resolution 2021, number 25, its budget adoption for 2022. Mr. Grisman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to go over a couple highlights real quickly. I know we had our budget hearing back in November where this board approved a proposed budget that has been duly advertised as per the second class township code. It's been on public display now for 20 days, and this is your opportunity to approve next year's operating budget prior to the end of the fiscal year, which in our case would be December 31st. So you're, as a township, you're required to do so. But insofar as the highlights go, I just want to point out once again that our budget for next year is a no-tax increase budget. Real estate taxes will remain at 2.5381 mils. Our budget continues to maintain consistency with the DCED chart of accounts, and it's in conformance with our annual township audit. Township revenue is, total revenue is projected at $23,825,660. And total expenses are projected at $22,617,910. The general fund balance is projected to end the year at $1,207,748, with an additional $2.9 million in the general fund operating reserve for a combined balance of about $4.1 million. So this, and I've talked about this over the last couple of years, this is the opportunity for the township to begin to build long-term savings in the general fund operating reserve by utilizing excess revenue that comes into the budget by balancing the equation of keeping your expense load low and moving some of that excess revenue into this reserve so that you can build capacity into your budget year over year, so that in the event there is an issue within the township, we have a way to address that without having to borrow money or a combination thereof. This budget continues to maintain all township services at its current levels, even with some decreased revenue projections as we continue to be aware about COVID-19 and all of its impacts on our region. Those are changing. There is some growth in the budget due to some changes in the COVID-19 world, but I still think that we need to continue to take a conservative approach and evaluation and look at things aren't going to go back to being 100% normal overnight. This is going to be a 3 to 5 year economic recovery. That's not just in Gary Township. That's across the country. This budget also anticipates about $609,000 of capital projects to address needs throughout the township. Additionally, you'll see in that capital projects fund the $10 million, which includes the RACP funds of $2 million, and the remaining bond proceeds to complete the Gary Township Community Center project. Wage increases for uniform, non-uniform, and non-uniform bargaining unit employees and management employees are set at 2.5% for next year, as per the collective bargaining agreements. Our health care costs are increasing by only 1.4%, which is a historic low. That is primarily because the township utilizes its relationship with Benicon, which is a municipal cooperative. They were able to renegotiate rates with Capital Blue Cross. And in doing so, we were able to achieve a 1.4% increase, which is fantastic. Generally, you see them in a conservative world, 6%. Sometimes you see as high as 13% in the municipal level. All of our other insurance lines are increasing. We budgeted about a 5% increase. Those renewal numbers are starting to flow, and now that it's more towards the end of the year, our renewals will begin at the end of this month and beginning of January. So they weren't here yet, per se, but we've been pretty good about being right around 5% each year. And I know it's tough to see, but up on the top of the screen, I did share with you the dollar bill that I think is kind of important. You know, the one piece of our budget that always takes the most public scrutiny is how much am I paying in real estate taxes. What that dollar bill shows, and some of it is cut off, Gary Township's piece of everyone's tax dollar is 9%. 67% of what you pay goes to the Gary Township School District, and the remaining 24% goes to Dauphin County. I can say that of the three pieces that are up there, the two on the far right haven't moved. They've been frozen for the last couple of years, so we're happy about that. I can't address what goes on with the school district. That's not my bubble. But it's an important part of this conversation because you often hear criticism at this level about the taxes we pay, and it's not necessarily pointed at us. It's maybe misdirected towards us. And I think for the 9% that we pay as taxpayers here in this township, we get an awful lot of services to boot for it. Moving on quickly, so where we are tonight, again, just to summarize, and I mentioned it at the outset, is the no tax increase budget again for fiscal year 2022. With COVID-19 still being present in our community, again, we need to focus our efforts on a 3 to 5 year recovery. Lastly, as I mentioned at the outset, you know, we have met our advertising requirement as outlined in Section 3202B of the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code. And I'm certainly, after any questions you might have tonight, you are in a position to adopt this budget if you so choose to do so. Open the floor.
Questions for Mr. Chrisman on the budget? Just a couple comments. Rick, go ahead. Sorry.
Did we get an updated at all from what DCPB is going to be paying back?
Not that I'm aware of, not yet.
And I understand, Chris, based on our last public meeting on the budget, I believe this represents spending levels back in 2020. So we're spending less in 2022 than we did in 2020, correct?
That's correct.
And a lot of the thanks for that goes to the people seated to my left in this room, which would be all the department heads and the staff of the township, yourself including Chris, for working through what has been nothing short of the most difficult financial crisis in our lifetimes in this community, and rethinking how we deliver township services. Made some very difficult decisions last year and again this year, and we're prepared to continue to make tough decisions until we get out of this economic recovery, and I think that we would all agree that we see this as a 3 to 5 year horizon. I hope it's only a 3 to 5 year horizon, but you deserve a lot of credit for the way you've kind of restructured the way we think about the budget and creating different buckets of revenue so that we're better prepared to spend on capital needs, and we're also building our reserve at the same time. So my comments, kudos to you and the staff for putting this all together. Anybody else have anything?
I have to apologize, I'm with the ICPA, not DCPB. My brain was somewhere else.
I didn't know
you knew what I was talking about, didn't you?
Yeah, the pilot thing.
Right.
He speaks right.
Thank you. I spent too much time with you that I know what you're saying.
All right, if there are no additional questions for Mr. Chrisman, then we can entertain a motion.
I'll move to adopt Resolution 2021, number 25, to adopt the annual operating budget of the Township of Derry for fiscal year 2020 in accordance with the articles of the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code.
I'll second.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt to adopt the 2022 budget proposal, seconded by Mr. Saluda. Any further discussion or questions? If not, all those in favor of approving the motion and therefore approving our 2022 budget, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the motion passes. Again, thank you all for your hard work on this. The next item is B7-8. It's sort of a companion piece of the legislation here. It's the consideration of Resolution 2021-26, establishing a tax levy for fiscal year 2022. Mr. Chrisman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As is required by the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code, Section 3205A does require you to pass a resolution setting the millage rate for Derry Township. As I mentioned in our last topic and discussion of the budget, that millage has not changed. It is at 2.5381 mils. This resolution then spells that out and will officially adopt that as our tax rate for fiscal year 2022.
All right. Very good. Questions for Mr. Chrisman? Just a comment. I know that we're not increasing any kind of a tax levy, but it's almost a misnomer on the agenda, but I understand why. Is there a motion?
I'll go ahead and move to adopt resolution 2021 number 26, establishing a tax levy for the Township of Gary for fiscal year 2022 in accordance with Article 32 of the Pennsylvania Second Constitutional Code.
Very good. Motion made by Mr. Court.
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zanuda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion and resolution 2021-26, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and said resolution is adopted. The next item is C9-11. It's the consideration of resolution number 2021-22, establishing assessment for the cost and expense of maintaining streetlights within the Township of Derry, pursuant to section 2003, subsection A of the Second Class Township Code as amended, also providing for the collection thereof. Mr. Christie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you noted, section 2003A of the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code outlines how municipalities should set their rates for maintaining streetlights within the municipality. Resolution 2021-22 sets that for Derry Township. As you are aware, the township does pay for PPL services for the distribution costs and AEP for generation and transmission costs incurred through a 12-month period. The Dauphin County Tax Assessment Office will bill residents in 2022 for 2021's costs, so it's kind of like a year off in the budget. But our streetlight fund within the budget houses where that money goes, and it's an in and out, and it ends up zeroing itself out at the end of the year, or there may be a small fund balance that will sit there to help offset any costs or improvements that have to be made to the streetlights. So at this point, unless there are any other questions, it's in a position to be adopted.
Any questions for Mr. Christie? If not, is there a motion?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve resolution 2021-22, establishing an assessment for the cost and expense of maintaining streetlights within the Township of Derry, pursuant to section 2003, section A of the Second Class Township Code as amended, also providing for the collection thereof.
Very good, thank you, Mrs. Nutt. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt to approve resolution 2021-22. Is there a second?
Okay, second.
Motion seconded by Ms. Court. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. And the motion to approve resolution 2021-22 is approved. The next item is D12-35. It's the consideration of resolution number 2021-24, establishing a fee schedule of planning, zoning, building, and other fees for calendar year 2022. Mr. Christopher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is also a companion piece to all of the items that we've just adopted. This is connected to our budget. This sets the fee schedule for Derry Township for calendar year 2022. Each year, the departments go back and take a hard look at the fees and expenses that are charged for different building permits, zoning permits, and any other fees throughout the township. Those fees are adjusted in some cases by CPI index. That's a correct, Chuck. Yeah. And so this way, it accurately helps us offset some of our costs as we move forward with inspections. So this is in a position to be adopted this evening. This will be in effect beginning 1-1 of 22.
Any questions for Mr. Chris? Just generally, Chris, these types of fees, it's my understanding, these aren't designed to necessarily generate revenue for us. These cover our costs of performing functions associated with the fee. Is that correct?
That is correct.
If no one else has any questions or comments, we can entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chair, that we approve resolution 2021-TEC number 24, establishing a fee schedule for planning, zoning, building, and other fees for calendar year 22.
Thank you, Mr. Zanuda. Motion made by Mr. Zanuda to approve resolution number 2021-24. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion to approve resolution 2021-24, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item is E36-116, the execution of a labor contract agreement with Derry Township Police Association. Mr. Grissom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board is aware, our current police contract is scheduled to expire on December 31st of this year. We have had very productive negotiations with the police association for a new three-year contract that would be effective 1/1/22 through December 31st of 2024. On the township side of the negotiating table were supervisors of Bruzo and Nutt, myself, and Cheryl Watts from our finance department. That negotiation did fully open our labor contract, and I'm happy to report that the pay increases for 2022 are at 2.5%, 2.75% for 23, and 3% for 24, which mirrors our other labor agreement in the township, as well as the non-uniform employees as well. Additionally, some of the givebacks, givebacks is not the best word to use, but the township was able to realize savings in the contract through additional co-pays for medical benefits, particularly for post-retirement health, by not including spousal coverage at that point. Additionally, in the police pension plan, all officers will be contributing 4% towards their pension, beginning 1/1/22. And the drop program in and of itself has not a wall around it, so that when an officer reaches superannuation, they have 1 year from the date that is achieved to make a decision as to whether or not to enter the drop. If they miss that 365-day window, then they will no longer be eligible. So I'm recommending that the board approve the contract this evening. I think it's a fair offer from on both sides, and it was a lot of work to get through, and I do want to thank Supervisor Bruzo and Nutt for their guidance through that process.
Questions for Mr. Christman on this item? I would just say I would like to thank the officers who represented the Police Association. There were a number of meetings, and they were not easy meetings necessarily, but they were productive meetings, and they were respectful meetings, and it made getting to a middle ground. It wasn't enjoyable, but it was not unpleasant. So to their credit, they worked hard to negotiate very detailed items. We did the same thing, and I do think that I would concur 100% with your assessment that there was something in this contract for all sides, for both sides. And we don't want it to be like there are sides, because we're all part of one township family, but when we get into negotiations over contracts, it often can feel like they're sides. And again, to their credit, it didn't feel that way through this experience. So many thanks to those four gentlemen. Anyone else? Otherwise, we could entertain a motion. I will go ahead and make a motion that we execute the labor contract agreement with the Derry Township Police Association. Is there a second?
Seconded
by Mr. Zabuda. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the labor contract agreement with the Derry Township Police Association, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Don't worry, and Susan, I know it's your last meeting tonight. We have so many items. I don't want you getting nervous.
I really
class.
Appreciate
that.
There's
so many left
tonight. Thank you.
And look, they're growing every time I look back. All right, F-117-170. It's a discussion on the proposed national opioid settlement agreement with distributors, AmerisourceBergen, Cardinal Health, and McKesson, and manufacturers Johnson & Johnson, Janssen Pharmaceuticals, Ortho McDaniel Janssen Pharmaceuticals, and Janssen Pharmaceutica. And this is going to be handled by Mr. Armstrong, our solicitor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board is aware, there's a national opioid settlement agreement between the states within the country. Pennsylvania is anticipated to get approximately $1 billion. As part of that, each of the qualifying municipalities need to participate or should consider participating in the national settlement agreements. There are two settlement agreements. One of them is with the distributor, and it's the distributor settlement. The other one is the manufacturer settlement. And Dauphin County has circulated proposed settlement participation forms as well as the allocation form for participating municipalities within the county of Dauphin. As I've briefed the board in the past, this doesn't mean you're automatically going to get money, but it does, if you do participate in these settlement agreements, it does qualify you to receive some money if the Commonwealth does receive the funds that are allocated towards it. One other important thing to mention is that in order for the Commonwealth to get close to, if not the total amount that it's supposed to be allocated, it's important for the Commonwealth to have hit benchmarks with respect to participating municipalities, meaning if only a small percentage of the municipalities within Pennsylvania participate, chances are the Commonwealth won't get the money that they're supposed to get. As well as if there's not a critical mass hit with respect to municipalities across the nation, the settling parties from the distributions or the distributors settlement as well as the manufacturer settlement could potentially pull out of the settlement agreements. So with that being said, are there any questions or comments for me with respect to what this is? Seeing that there is none, if the board wants to proceed with approving and entering into these participation agreements and forms, it would be appropriate to pass the motion at this time. The one thing I will say, in addition to what's indicated on your agenda item, I would specifically authorize Chris Crispin to sign the settlement documents that are necessary in order to move this forward.
And let me just defer for a moment to Lieutenant Rush from the Police Department. I know we have discussed this at the last meeting, and we discussed perhaps the chief could take a look at some statistics that might give us a sense of how the opioid epidemic has impacted Derry Township. And so, Lieutenant Roach, were you able to gather any information that might shed some light on that for us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Unfortunately, our print server in the police department collapsed tonight, so I had some documents to present to the board, and that's not happening. Mr. Bladouche is trying to remedy that as we speak. I went back 4 years, 2018, and to date in 2021. We had 44 naloxone responses in our township, officers of the police department themselves administering naloxone. Unfortunately, in those 4 years, we have had 12 deaths related to opioid-related overdoses. It's not inclusive of all overdoses, but 12 specifically related to opioid. We are seeing an uptick. 2018 was kind of a benchmark year. It was our highest numbers. And, of course, 19 and certainly 20 with COVID, we've seen a sharp decrease in not only our total naloxone deployments, we've seen a significant decrease in overall drug offenses here in the township, and as well as naloxone deployments. Unfortunately, as the economy has come back to life and folks are getting back to normal, as much as possible, 2021 today has seen an uptick. We are seeing a significant increase in drug incidents, drug arrests. Thus far this year, we have had 10 naloxone deployments already, and we've had 4 deaths this year related to opioid abuse. So it did dip a little bit, 19 to 20, and we're seeing the increases again.
Just a question about those numbers, Lieutenant. Those numbers include, let's say someone presented at the emergency room or the med center, they had overdosed. Would your numbers necessarily reflect those?
No, they would not. These are purely Derry Township Police Department responses. Quite often, we would be made aware of overdose arrivals at the ER. However, they were not documented by us because of the immunity clause in the statute. So there were a number that reported directly to the ER, but we were not involved in those investigations.
Thank you, because the information you're reporting to us tonight is something that we all talked about. The last meeting would be helpful in sort of moving this item forward. Perhaps if we have the benefit of time, but it'd be interesting to see if we could find out what those numbers look like from the emergency room at the medical center to supplement to your numbers.
Certainly, and I can certainly liaison with my contacts at the medical center and produce those numbers. For the most part, from a pre-hospital standpoint, We respond with EMS on all calls, and certainly those numbers are documented in these figures. But those folks who arrive, and our number, we just pull up at ER, the friends drop them off, and really have no involvement in that per se.
So. Well, again, thank you for doing that legwork for us and presenting that information. Sure. Does anybody else have any questions for Lieutenant Roach on this?
I appreciate that, and I think that there is definitely a need for education and intervention, and anything that we can do to get funds to help reduce the problems in our community. Very much needed. So, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, the only thing I will add is any in the event that the township does receive money in response to the settlement agreements, it will need to go towards remediating or abating the opioid epidemic in the township. What that is, I'm not sure about.
Right. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. If there are no other questions either for Mr. Armstrong, the solicitor, or Lieutenant Roach, we can entertain a motion.
I'll go ahead and offer a motion that Derrick Township agreed to opt in and execute the proposed distributor settlement and J&J settlement circulated by Dauphin County, and further approve and authorize the execution of any and all documents and or agreements related thereto in order to proceed with participating in the national opioid settlement agreements, including but not limited to the proposed Pennsylvania subdivision intrastate allocation participation form, and additionally that we authorize Township Manager Chris Crispin to execute documents necessary.
Thank you very much, Ms. Court.
I'll second.
Made by Ms. Court, second of Ms. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item is G171-180. It's the consideration of approving the bid of Houck & Company, Incorporated, to install an underground waterproofing system for the Derry Township Police Station. Lieutenant Roach.
Yes, sir. By way of background, back on November 9th, 2021, the board did approve authorize the administration to advertise competitive bidding for remediation of a water leak that we have in the basement, the ground floor of the police department facility. There was a seam in the block wall that seems to be getting increasingly worse over the years. The natural groundwater is seeping into the building. It's affecting our operation in the area near the holding facility. The last few months this summer, with the rainstorms, we've had some aggressive drainage inside the foundational wall into our inner complex. And the administration has stated authorized the bids. With the assistance of Mr. Clark, those bids were posted. The township did receive one qualifying bid from Houck & Company. The cost to remediate the situation in our ground floor totals $29,990. Asking for the board's approval to award the bid to Houck & Company to install the underground remediation for this the situation.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Any questions for Lieutenant Roach on this item? All right, we can entertain a motion.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the bid of Houck & Company to install an underground waterproofing system for the Derry Township Police Department for an amount not to exceed $29,990, as outlined in the proposal dated December 8th, 2021.
Very good. Thank you, Mrs. Dutt. Motion made by Mrs. Dutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zanuda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion is approved unanimously. Thank you. The next item is H-181-182. It's the consideration of resolution number 2021-27, authorizing the adoption of the Dauphin County Emergency Operations Plan for use as the Township of Derry Emergency Operations Plan. Lieutenant Roach.
Changed my hat to my EMA hat at this point. Title 35, Pennsylvania statute, in Title 35 does require that each municipality in the Commonwealth adopt an emergency operation plan every 2 years. Those plans allow us to qualify for response and prevention funding from FEMA and PEMA alike. We are obviously due for our renewal of our plan. There are just, to take note, there are only two municipalities in Dauphin County that do not adopt the Dauphin County Emergency Operation Plan. In my 10 years as the EMA coordinator, the plan does suit the needs of the township. It meets all of the needs that we would experience in an emergency situation. And I do recommend and request it for your authorization to adopt Resolution 2021-27.
Very good. Thank you, Lieutenant. Any questions for Lieutenant Roach on this item? I would only note that we utilize our emergency response plan on more than one occasion in some of you over a number of years, so we know it works.
We have. Yeah.
All right. With that, then I'll go ahead and make a motion that we adopt Resolution 2021-27, authorizing the adoption of the Dauphin County Emergency Operations Plan for use as the Township of Derry Emergency Operations Plan. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Motion seconded by this court. Any further discussion? Here or not, all those in favor of approving the motion, which adopts Resolution 2021-27, please vote aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. That will take us to item I-183-187. It's the consideration of modifications to the development agreement for the final lot consolidation and land development plan for Hershey West End Streets and Infrastructure Phase, Plat 1330. Either Mr. Embert or Mr. Armstrong or Bob.
I'll start.
Pick
up. So Plat 1330 is obviously the Hershey West End Master Plan. One of the conditions of the approval was the developer enter into a development agreement. The development agreement addressed a variety of things, including blasting. Attached to the agenda item is an excerpt from the original development agreement, as well as some revisions that have been requested by the applicant. Pat Armstrong has been reviewing those documents. I did want to get it on the agenda this evening, knowing we'll be trying to avoid business the first meeting in January, and the other meeting in January is the fourth Tuesday. And there is some desire to get to the blasting. So with that,
sure. Thanks, Chuck. As Chuck indicated, I believe the West End Streets and Infrastructure Development Agreement has been signed, but I believe HTC, the applicant, is requesting at this point some revisions to the development agreement specific in this part of the provisions regarding the blasting. There are certain provisions, you'll see it in the packet, subsection Z, 1 through 4, that address blasting. The requirements in the development agreement are a little bit more restrictive or require a little bit more with respect to notice for the applicant than the regulations with respect to blasting do. So the applicant is, from my understanding, if you read through what their proposed revisions are, they're requesting the deletion of Z1, which would be a requirement that they meet with the township's engineer just to discuss all alternative reasonably, or all alternatives potential rather than blasting. Z2, they're requesting a significant amount of the notice requirements to be deleted and that they simply comply with the regulations controlling blasting. In this, I guess Z1, I'm kind of indifferent. I'll leave it up to the board what you prefer. Z2, I think the notification requirement is important, but again, it's a decision for the board, and if you're okay with the request for revision, that's up to the board. The one part of Z2 that I would be fine with and don't have an issue with is the removal of the requirement to include the policy number of the insurance company in that notification. If the board were willing to agree to that revision. They're also requesting certain deletions with respect to the notice requirements and the requirement to monitor the blast with some kind of seismic instrumentation in Z3. Z4, they're proposing a new provision in Z4 and deleting the existing or already agreed to provision in Z4, which would require that they respond within claims of damages caused by blasting activities within a certain period of time and ensure that the township is kept in the loop. So, you can look through the request for revisions. For the most part, they're requesting to delete certain provisions requiring them to provide a notice to provide notice to the neighboring property owners associated with the blasting activities, as well as notification and discussion with the township with respect to the blasting activities, and to simply comply with the regulations that they're required to comply with.
Very good.
So with that, I mean, it's my understanding again, the development agreement has been signed and is in final form. But you now have a request for an amendment. I see individuals from HTC in the audience. I don't know if they have anything to add. But if the board wanted to consider the amendments, if you want to take it under advisement, if you want to say no, if you want to say yes, we're fine with it. This would be the time.
I don't know. Would somebody from the Mr. Gall or Mr. Schutte like to come up to the? I think there are probably a couple questions that we just have.
Mr. Shite's here for another reason, so I'm
we're trying to keep avoiding a bill. I think we're kind of back to
Ken. We all know you could just. Oh,
I'm sorry, Ken Gall, Hershey Trust Company. Sorry about that. If I'm not incorrect, this provision related to blasting is, as we negotiated the agreement with the new solicitor, it's a newer provision. I think we feel the state regulations is what should guide this, not increasing it. It's a heavily regulated process. I guess, looking back on it, we probably should have highlighted it or in discussions with our counsel and Mr. Armstrong probably should have pushed back on this, not realize. And my mistake was probably not getting more input into what the implications of this are.
And Ken, I don't want to cut you off. I don't want to get to the essence of the questions. We also don't want to put anybody through things unnecessarily just for the sake of doing them. But the notice provisions,
We're not concerned about notifying the township, but the 1,000-foot is well beyond. And Carla's with me, who understands construction much better than I do. It's beyond what you would. Maybe next to a quarry, but even that's regulated by the state. I mean, it's a little cumbersome, and we're also worried about this, carrying forward as development occurs in the township. What's the norm? What's the standard? And actually, the state used to have. I understand that the state used to have a 200-foot notification provision. The state stopped that a number of years ago because the blasting is not, it really doesn't necessarily cause a lot of damage to folks. It's not like a quarry. It's very, and again, if you have any blasting specific questions, refer you to Carla, but it's just to keep, this won't be the first or last time that somebody gets limestone in Dairy Township. And
I think we agree with that.
Just out of curiosity, how difficult would it be to inform residents that are 1,000 feet away? And is there a way to do it that's
what we're struggling with in part.
I mean, perhaps there's a way just to give notice that isn't perhaps laborious, that requires lots of letters, but maybe there's a way that you could think of that just as a courtesy.
And that's not a problem. Just, hey, what if we, how do you do it? How do you not miss people? Process-wise, it wasn't thought through, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even thinking, especially somebody who's probably 1,000 feet from where you're going to be blasting, that those residents might just appreciate a heads up that something's happening, especially because so many people work from home, and just having a little bit of a warning that this is happening. Even if it's one letter that instructs people to go to your website to check for updates, and then you just make one update that residents can go check so that they can look ahead and say, okay, I've got a big meeting coming up tomorrow, and it looks like they're going to be blasting. And maybe that's even less work than sending out letters every time you're going to get something that creates some communication with the residents, I think would be helpful.
So I think the issue... Of course. Carla Farrell, Capital Construction Management. DEP used to require that the adjacent owners, people that lived in those spaces, structures, not just apartments, but there was an actual structure where that was occupied by a person, that they would require 200 feet for this type of blasting. So 1,000 feet is a lot more than 200. And I think that, you know, within 200 to 300 feet, you're going to maybe hear something. You're not really going to feel anything, but you're going to, I might sound like a truck rumbling over, you know, a rough road, that type of thing. So even if you were going to have a meeting on your phone, that wouldn't be a sound that would actually come through. So actually, back in 2017, DEP even just deleted that requirement, just because this type of blasting is really nothing that you would feel or hear at a distance. And so it went, when we call the township and let Chuck know that, hey, we're going to be blasting today, if they get any calls in, people that are concerned about it, that, you know, because people hear things that are a little bit different, that it's typically who they call and bother. And so, you know, that is, he at least has an idea, yes, they're going to be blasting today from 1 to 2 or something like that. And so what we're planning on doing is letting Chuck know, you know, that we'd like to do this from January to April, and that we would call him 24 hours in advance to let him know that we'd be blasting during certain times of the day.
We don't think you're going to even, I mean, at the distance, and then you start going up to the Oakland area at 1,000 feet. Likely not even going to notice it up there. You know, the 200 feet was even deleted, and the utilities, what the utilities
right,
require. So you have gas lines that are within that that aren't even worried about it.
But these provisions are already assigned. Like, these were already signed, and aren't these just being a good neighbor?
I think the 200 feet is being a good neighbor. It's actually more than DEP requires, and our blaster does actually have a blasting activity permit from DEP right now, so all of the things that he has to do in order to get that permit have been approved.
Yeah, and to be clear, the township's not looking to regulate the blasting. These provisions are specific to notice, and it's clear that the requirements in the development agreement are a little bit beyond what DEP used to require. 1,000 foot is not that uncommon of a permission with respect to certain requirements.
We've never seen that before, as my pushback. And we're in Central Pennsylvania.
I just want to make clear, we're not regulating the activity. All we're doing is saying, at least the way they read currently, we're saying you've got to notify certain neighbors within a certain distance, and that's it.
And it's just, you know, from a, you know, how do you do it? Do you miss people within 1,000 feet? And are they, do you elevate somebody's concern unnecessarily when it's an activity that's common practice and really doesn't cause?
I think knowing that and saying that, though, is important for people to understand. And I think that's great that you're going to be contacting Chuck, but rather than make residents have to call Push 5 and ask for his office, perhaps in addition you might consider an occasional article in the email blast that goes out to residents.
We'd be glad to say, hey, there's going to be blasting.
Something like that.
You mean just from a process standpoint, if there's an email blast that the township sends out that says there's going to be, we're not trying to hide the fact that we're blasting. It's just from a process standpoint, you know, who's home, are they reading it?
Well, that's why I don't think it's just one tactic. I mean, I think calling Chuck is great. I think putting something in the township email newsletter is great. I think you could easily reach out to the HOA presidents in Oakmont with just information between now and April. If you hear construction noises, it is because we were moving forward with the Hershey West End. If anyone has any questions, you know, contact us.
Again, we're not trying to hide the fact we're doing it just from a process standpoint. And even going forward, you know, as we have you know, more development agreements, you know, some consistency with, you know, with what's common practice in Central Pennsylvania, and not making it
so the only,
you know, more burdensome on, you know, making it more expensive to develop in their county.
The thing that's a little troubling, though, is not as troubling, but that I think we trip. So it's in the agreement. So that what you're asking us to do is take it out of the agreement. So the agreement, as signed by all parties, requires the notice to these folks. I don't even know, to be truthful, maybe you know. I don't have any residences or property owners or even within 1,000 feet. I don't even have any 200 feet because I don't know really where you're blasting. So do you have an idea of how many people would be impacted?
There's about 3 or 4 houses along McIntosh Way that's closest to the blasting site, and they are at least 200 feet away from this, but we would probably contact those 3 or 4 houses just to make sure.
And at 1,000 feet, not necessarily.
I'm sorry, I don't have that information.
A thousand feet gets you up into a pile.
Yeah,
and then you start you know, applying this to other areas in the township going forward, Chris.
Yeah, but we can. It's easier to negotiate it in the agreement before it's all signed.
I don't disagree. Clearly, it was a mistake on our part for not.
So explain to us that none of us know anything about blasting. So tell us something about why this blasting is not blasting that normally people would hear or cause damage to properties if they're beyond the 200 feet or.
Because these are just small, like 2.5 pound explosive. You know, they drill a hole in the rock and then put the 2.5 pound explosive in that and then detonate it. And so it's not like living next to a quarry. So, you know, you have 300 feet you have to be away from a quarry with a house. And so that type of blasting, is much bigger than this. Like I said, if you hear anything at all within 200 feet, it'll sort of sound like a tractor trailer truck rattling on a rough road.
And this isn't at all a concern for the people on the path as they're walking.
We're not anywhere near there.
Yeah, so it's more on the other end.
Yeah, it's down along 322 is where it's starting.
I guess the point is I'm personally not suggesting that you incur additional costs, but that it doesn't hurt to communicate what you're doing so that people know.
So would it be enough to have them put that information in the email, the township email letter?
I would be hesitant to put the onus on the township to send things out.
And I wouldn't even mind saying, hey, do we put a small advertisement in the Sun? It just from a process standpoint, yeah. Do you send somebody around with knockers? Do you send them, if you send it to the property owner, does the person living there get it? Given that somebody's not even going to notice it, I'd be glad to even say we put a quarter page, 8 page ad in the Sun, and we're going to be. Blasting over the next couple of months, please call with any questions. I mean, we're not trying to, the more we, that's obviously beyond 1,000 feet, but we're not doing anything that isn't common in the construction industry particularly, and,
I think one of the reasons that DEP got rid of this whole requirement to even tell people within the 200 feet is that they were getting a lot of erroneous claims. And so it took a lot of time and effort and money for DEP to chase down the claim to find out that it was erroneous to begin with. And so, as long as the blaster is following all the regulations, that are set by DEP, that DEP doesn't require them to notify people.
But notifying them makes the whole project, it's a neighborhood project. I mean, you're just being good neighbors. I mean, Kenny just gave a couple of examples of what you could do. Door knockers, that's a great way to do it. I mean, I personally don't think it should be the township's responsibility, whether it's the e-news or Chuck fielding these phone calls, to explain to residents who have issues.
We actually think, Chuck, if we notify everybody within 1,000 feet with a door knocker, it's likely Chuck gets more calls than he would with just us not having that. I mean, you can.
So I guess I feel like there's a couple questions. We're using the terms 1,000 feet and 200 feet. I feel like I'm not sure if we're just where the 1,000 feet number came from.
We don't know where the 1,000 feet number came from. Right. The 200 feet was what DEP used to require.
Yeah, I think DEP's prior regs was 200. 1,000, I think, is something we've used in development areas as a form.
And maybe related to a quarry, I don't know where the 1,000 feet came from. And again, shame on us for not pushing back a little bit when Pat and Dave were negotiating it. I didn't give the agreement to Carla to review, and that probably would have solved me having to be here and you having to review it. So it was a heavily negotiated agreement.
This was a recent development agreement. Yeah.
It hasn't been in development agreements in the past in Dairy Town. This provision hasn't been in there in the past.
I'm sorry that I don't, my ignorance on this, that have you form lasting and other projects?
I'm sure we have. I'm not sure Hershey Entertainment has. I'm sure Hershey School has. It's a new, and I'm sure developments really, you're in a limestone. You know, right? If you're building a road along Middletown Road, are you? Yeah. Was there blasting activity on this hillside?
Let me ask Zach. Zach, did we do any blasting for the community center?
Oh, I'm not aware of it.
I'm just curious because there is a lot. I recognize the limestone is actually prevalent.
I'm not sure if you did or didn't.
There was a lot of rock removed, I can tell you that.
Are you guys planning on doing any blasting of the New Rural Childhood Development? I'm just wondering if this will come back.
Same provisions in there. They are, you know, they don't have the same issue of the quantity. If you look at where that is along 322, it's just a there's a big limestone.
Right.
Yes, it's all that matter. I think the Early Childhood Center probably would have, but then just elected to say they don't want to stop. They've got enough issues with their, you know, getting started without, you know, coming back to you guys and explaining, hey, we kind of missed in negotiating this. Same provisions in their agreement.
So is that going to come back to us eventually?
No.
Oh, this is not?
No, they're just, on that one, they're just... And going forward, that's what we should think about is, you know, if this is going to fold into other development agreements, what's reasonable, what makes sense? Because, you know, it won't be just the trust or the school or HERCO. You'll have this, I assume, Pat, you'll have similar development agreements for, you know, with other developers. So, you know, what's what should be and what's, you know, it'll probably flow forward to other agreements. Again, shame on us for not, you know, pushing back when this was put in the development agreement and us having to be here, you know, a month or so after it's signed. I apologize for that. It's, you know, we erred in not handing it to the people actually doing the work. And, you know, the blaster saying it's just not something. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but he hasn't seen it since the past, probably.
So the challenge is when you're sitting up here and you're reading the language, right? It's very thorough, right? And maybe it's time intensive or labor intensive, but it clearly puts any landowner or resident, right, on notice about the blasting, and it might be overkill. But when you're sitting up here, it looks really good. But I understand from your perspective where it does, it might feel like it's overkill. But I'm not sure. I feel uncomfortable tonight necessarily either approving your request or denying their request because I feel like I have unanswered questions. I think there could be a happy medium we could arrive at here. But I think the notice to the residents is really our paramount concern and trying to identify what that appropriate sort of sphere of notification is really critical, I think, for us to feel comfortable that maybe it's only 250 feet and it only impacts 30 residents or property owners, and we can come to an agreement in writing that here are the notification procedures you'll follow, and then we don't mind being a part of it, but it really should be your responsibility to notify the landowners. We can use township methods to communicate as well to supplement, and I agree, we don't need to have every resident in the township doesn't need to know about there's blasting if they're, you know, a mile or 2 miles away, but I think we're just struggling with what the right
Pat, do you know where the 1,000 feet came from? Was it based on any DEP regulation or
I know you may not have seen it before, but I've seen a number of where it initially came from. I'm not going to answer that tonight. I've got to track it down. I mean, it might help if you let us know the number of properties this would encompass. I mean, if it's, you say 4 or 3 within the 200, right?
Well, at 200 feet, it's 4 to 5 houses.
4 to 5 houses. So within 1,000 feet, what is that? And if you give us that number, that might help, I guess.
How many people are out of Mount Susan? because of...
I think that, you know, the thing I feel uncomfortable with is that it's in something that's already...
I hear you.
And I totally appreciate what you're saying. I have the benefit, as well as the board members, of hearing that this blasting won't be disruptive. That's great. But there are 25,000 other people who might want to know who probably won't know otherwise. So I'm a little uncomfortable with that. I'd also be very interested to see what we've done in the past with similar projects before we sit here and say, okay, you need to take it out on the sun or do whatever, prescribe it to you, you know. To me, you can't go wrong being a good neighbor and erring on the side of communicating. It doesn't have to be to the level where every day that you're blasting, you have to communicate something, but just giving people some notice, I think that would go a long way in extending some goodwill with your project, which is really changing the face of the township, and I think that will just help build better relations overall.
Our fear is when you send that people that wouldn't, I don't know how to put this appropriately, but people that probably don't need to be concerned all of a sudden become concerned when they...
I think it's more of a courtesy. I mean, I think if you explain it the way you did tonight, people would appreciate knowing what's going on versus getting concerned or thinking that something bad is happening.
And going to your first question, I don't believe blasting. You chuck it, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think blasting was covered in previous development agreements.
No,
I think they rely on the state regulation. So this is a new provision. And shame on us for not saying 200 is more appropriate. You're going to have to notify 200 more reasonable. However, DEP probably has a handle as to what's appropriate and what isn't appropriate. Maybe following their regulations would have been what we would push, started with or push back with, and we would have ended up there. So process of notifying, and then are we raising the level of folks being concerned?
I understand that concern. I mean, it's a... Kind of issues similar to that, like that, in other projects over the years I've been on board. But it's what is your time?
We could talk about if you're uncomfortable in saying, hey, we need to remove the notification of folks. I think the other provisions that Pat mentioned that he's comfortable with modifying, we'd like you to, let's proceed that and Carla will have to figure out.
If you can get rid of the language about the certificate of insurance information being provided to people within 1,000 feet, that would be very helpful.
Wait, no, they're ready. I mean, you see the construction equipment out there, Chris.
If we can move forward on that item. Because maybe if you want to talk about that insurance, I shed a little light on that. Yeah. For the rest, we've talked about it.
Sure, that's when the initial request. That's what I thought it was something about. Yeah. And I don't necessarily, I indicated before, I don't have a problem taking that out. And that would be the written notice shall advise such property owner when the last thing is expected. Well, we'll include that. Expected to begin. The expected duration of such last thing activities would also be included. It's the following, which is what we take out. In the name, address, and policy number of the insurance company providing coverage for such blasting activity. That's what we would take out.
And interpretation, Pat, if we notify him, we're gonna put Carla's idea is door knockers. I think that's probably the most efficient. If we put a notice that from now till March there'll be blasting activity, we certainly can't do it every time. Every day we're going to blast. This is going to occur.
And it doesn't sound like that's asking me to do that.
I just want to make sure that not interpretation that that's the case.
Because it says the notice when blasting is expected to begin, and then the anticipated duration of such blasting activities.
So we can. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it seems.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then on that, whatever communication that is going out to the residents, you can have your contact information so that it doesn't have to go to Chuck. Correct.
That's correct.
That way.
So if we could, I like the addition of me being contacted.
In 2019, when you asked what we did in the past, in 2019, when they were building Hershey Park, I think their first blast, we probably got a couple complaints. So we contacted them. Each time that they were going to blast, they would email me. I would email Tom, Garth, and Chris, so that anybody that might get a call knew that it was blasting at the park. Quite honestly, after the initial call, I don't really think we got any calls.
You want residents to contact you?
No, I want them to contact me.
Their communication was with residents. Don't want your number.
No. Okay. Are you sure, Chuck? I thought he was
offering that. We'll take it.
I want the clause that's left in the agreement that my department's
we will probably, talk to Greg about this, we'll probably refer it to somebody that can answer the question appropriately. Calling Ben Hall probably doesn't help much.
And just for clarification, Pat, is it from the 1,000 feet from the proposed site of the blasting or the property where the blasting's taking place?
Our property located within, it doesn't say structure, so it's property. It would be property line.
That's a huge. I mean, this is a huge property. Can we adjust that to 1,000 feet from the blasting site?
It says 1,000 feet from the proposed blasting site.
So not the
property. How much? Yeah, it can't be. Yeah,
property. 1,000 feet of the proposed blasting site.
Okay, then that's
so that's fine.
Do we want to then take this, sort of separate here approve the removing that language on the around the insurance information, and then just table the other notification issue to work on that?
Well, I think we table, but by the time we table it for this agreement, we'll be done, Chris. So
you want to table all the things for it?
Yeah, I mean, this has
actually been very helpful.
I think some discussion, I mean, I'm a long-term thinker, some discussion as to the next time there's a development agreement, what should it be? And maybe some discussion as to whether it's 200 feet or whether we say follow the state regulations. Because they may go up or down. They may have zero today and 1,000.
That's a valid point for us to determine, right? Because I think that's what I was struggling with, was with the 1,000 feet. Was there a specific reason associated with this particular kind of drilling and blasting? But I think we have a little bit of time to figure that out and then come back and...
Yeah, the development agreement. Maybe it's not. Maybe there's another developer. It's just, I assume, going to carry forward and just give me some thought as to what should be in there.
Because perhaps we can modify, maybe you can put in the notification the range, the period of time blasting will begin, and for a period of 4 months during these times of the day. And then it may be a way to consolidate the notifications on every single time. But this will give us a little time to kind of work through that with the right people.
And I think we will probably try the door knock. I'm really hesitant to say you picked up every property owner. If you put door knockers on, that's going to be our intended method of notification. I'm not sure a letter's to somebody listed at a tax office is first of all, I'm not sure anybody gets mail anymore.
There's a gentleman in the audience in this room that he and I just put out a lot of door knockers a couple of months ago, so it must have worked.
You want to help?
I'm not volunteering, I do have it's targeted directly to the person.
That's the person that directly property owner probably definitely. I don't know what your percentage up in Oakmont is of owners versus rentals.
Probably more owners than renters, but I would just offer one other thought. In the neighborhoods that you're going to be thinking about hanging the door knockers, I would check with the homeowners associations. I was just remembering in Oakmont, it's like a no solicitation, no, door knocker, no hanger, no sign kind of a policy. So just check if that becomes your means, that it's actually something that's allowed in the neighborhood. So I think it's a great idea, but just give a call.
Maybe a way to work with, if ultimately the zone of, the sphere of influence here includes Oakmont, they're almost easier with homeowner associations. You may be able to work with just a few people who agree that their association will provide the notice you give them to all of the
residents. That's what we did. Chuck has those names and emails, and I do too, but you could, in a single email, essentially reach everyone who lives up there.
Yeah, Chuck had it. Okay.
So, I do appreciate you guys standing up here and fielding these questions. I think what we'll do then, it appears that we're all in agreement to table this so that we can all continue to work on the language.
What about the provision?
Do you want us to peel that out and vote?
Yes.
Take a motion on
yes,
for that? Can we do that, Pat?
That's up to the board.
Well, we're okay with taking that piece out so we can make a motion specific for that language.
If I was for the conversation, it would be a motion to remove the following language from C2 in the existing development agreement. It would be removing in the second sentence towards the end the following language and the name, address, and policy number of the insurance company providing coverage for such blasting activity.
We can make that motion, and then we'll table the rest of the notification permissions.
That's again, that's up to the board however you want to proceed, but yes, you can.
So would that have to be two different motions then?
Yeah. Right.
One for that part.
Right.
Part
two.
Well, there's nothing
that we have to vote on.
You don't actually have to table it because there's nothing, if you don't agree to the revision, you just don't have, there's nothing to act on. There's nothing definitive to act on.
That's true.
If you're going to amend the agreement by removing that provision, you do have to make a motion to approve that because that's an action. So, again, it would just be a motion to remove the following from C2 of the existing development agreement for the Hershey West End Streets and Infrastructure Plan. The second sentence in C2, towards the end, the following provision, and the name, address, and policy number of the insurance company providing coverage for such blasting activity.
All right, so I'll look to the other board members here. Is that...
So we can just come back on in a future meeting.
I think you'd see this, another development agreement is when you'd see this come up again.
Mm-hmm. And Pat, is this in other development agreements right now where the other developers would need to put their insurance information out to the public?
I haven't looked in anticipation of the meeting, but I suspect it or something similar to it is in the other development agreements.
So those other developers would... then you want to come to us and also ask for this.
There's only two, I believe, with this provision in it right now.
If they're doing blasting, they may see that provision and say, you know what, we're going to do what we can about blasting. That's really the reality. If someone sees that and they don't want to proceed with the notice requirements, we'll say, well, can we get this done without blasting?
And in this case, we can't. It's absolutely impossible to do without blasting.
So there's not any other developments going on that potentially have this same issue that they're dealing with.
Yeah, I mean,
there's probably for the early childhood, there's whatever agreement. Yeah. I haven't looked at or reviewed them for this particular purpose, but I suspect the other ones that we have with the Hershey Trust or Hershey.
I think, I don't know, there's other ones that would be applicable. And Carly, the other thing you get, and just to consider, it sounds like blasting is the most cumbersome and the neighbors would be most worried about. It might actually be the opposite. It's that the alternative to blasting is
hammering
7 a.m. in the morning. You start hammering limestone to break it up. And
that was a lot for the Ubro to put up with.
When they did Englewood, I mean, that we didn't blast, and then Ubro complaints were 10 hours a day of a hammer out there hammering away, which is, not as efficient as or more bothersome to the public.
Yeah. Well, I think we have discussed this enough, and let's entertain more, but at this point, I'm going to give a shot at the motion, okay? So I'll make a motion that we modify the development agreement for the final lot consolidation and land development plan for the Hershey West End Streets and Infrastructure Phase at Z2 of the agreement by removing the words from the second sentence in that paragraph as follows. And the name, address, and policy number of the insurance company providing coverage for such blasting activity. That would be my motion.
I'll second that.
Motion made, seconded by Bruce Court. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you. We do thank you for the back and forth. It was very helpful and helpful. So.
And Chris, over the past two, three weeks, I learned more about blasting than I was here.
Thank you.
Thank you both
very much. That'll take us to item J188-197. It's the authorization to execute an agreement for upgrading permit software from CivicGov to Municipi. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In 2013, Community Development did get rid of their own homegrown access system and purchased a more robust platform for doing our permit tracking and the like. At that time, we reviewed many permitting packages and due to the budget constraints, decided to purchase a system called CivicGov, which we're still using today. That system cost us $9,100 for the initial purchase, and of course there was a yearly maintenance fee. Even at that time, if budget restrictions were not an issue, we would have rather purchased Municipi. Municipi was part of General Code. Now ICC Community Development Solutions, which is the same company that does our ordinance codification, LaserFiche, and ECode 360. Unfortunately, in 2013, Municipi cost over $82,000 to purchase. We now have an opportunity to install the Municipi software program for $38,400 utilizing the American recovery monies, as this is an eligible expense to enhance our remote operation capabilities. Beginning in 2023, then, the annual maintenance support and hosting fee for Municipi would be $17,900. We're looking at offsetting that cost by increasing our permit application fees pretty much across the board by $24, so that a commercial building code permit, for instance, would go from 5775 to 8175. And likewise, other changes through the 748 permits that we issue on an average year based on the last 3 years. Municipi is far above, probably the best permitting package software out there. Darren Robinson, who came to us in 2011, was using that in Swidera Township and can attest that, you know, what we have today is even not as good as what he was using back then. It's basically the gold standard. It really does a lot to promote what we do. Pat Armstrong has reviewed the contract and his comments have been forwarded to Municipi. I do have a revised Municipi proposal based on Pat's comments, although they're still researching one of them. So what I'd be looking for is the Board of Supervisors to approve the software license and service agreement pending Pat's final review this evening. That will allow us to start the process. Our existing CivicGov package ends in the end of January. So in order to make the transition smoothly without paying for another year of CivicGov, I put it on the agenda for this evening. I will note that in my suggested motion for you, there is a typo. It is $38,400 for the first year.
Any questions for Chuck on the other?
Mr. Emmerich, this new package will help the speed in which you are able to issue permits and also make it more efficient.
I will say that our existing system, although cheap, you get what you pay for.
Okay.
It's cumbersome. The the municity system is will save us time, just in data entry, putting out letters, putting out violations.
So end users will see a benefit too.
And yes.
Okay. Thank you.
That's a great question, Mr. Chair. I can say that I stopped down. I was chatting with Chuck the other day. I had a chance to take a quick look at the proposal. It seemed pretty comprehensive. So it seemed like a good deal.
All right. Unless there are any other questions for Chuck, we can entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that the board authorizes the township manager to execute the software license and service agreement with Unicity for an amount not to exceed $38,400.
I'll second.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt, motion seconded by Mr. Saluda. Any further discussion?
Do we need to add pending solicitor review? Was there something that you needed there?
Thank you. Yes.
You could amend your motion.
Okay, I will amend my motion and recommend that the board approves the software license and service agreement approval this evening. For Unicity in the amount of $38,400 with the approval of our solicitor. Is that
all amended by second.
So motion made by Mrs. Nutt. The amended motion is second.
I'll second the amendment.
Luna, any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the amended motion, please go aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, ayes have it, and the amended motion passes. The next item is K198-218. It's the consideration of an agreement between the Hershey Company, Hershey Entertainment and Resorts Company, and the Township regarding sidewalks and lights along Park Boulevard. Mr. Hunter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When Park Boulevard was relocated, the project included a wide pedestrian sidewalk, but lighting was not included in the budget for the project. Upon the opening of the sidewalk and the new roadway, the township did receive numerous complaints about the sidewalk area being dark. We explored different ways to try and get that sidewalk area lit, and each of them were expensive and outside of any budget that we had at the time. Through the Transportation Committee, talks began with HE&R related to them providing the lighting since it does serve many of their clientele. In October of 2019, HE&R agreed to pay for the design to the township's satisfaction and the installation of lighting so long as the lights could be turned over to the township to own, operate, and maintain, and then COVID hit. So the agreement accompanying this agenda item details the conditions related to the lighting that probably should have been done a little while ago. But the parties to the agreement are HE&R, the Hershey Company, and Derry Township. The Hershey Company's involvement is rather limited to the granting of a temporary easement for the construction and a permanent easement for the area of the sidewalk that is outside the public right-of-way to include the lighting. HE&R's involvement in the agreement is also relatively limited to the temporary and permanent easements, but also binds them to the installation of the lights, providing the township warranties and operation manuals for the lights, and transfers the ownership, operation, and maintenance responsibilities of the lights to the township. HE&R also included a provision to allow them to install banners on the lights similar to the KISS lights on Chocolate Avenue. So, as the board's aware, we write our agenda items the Thursday before the meeting. Monday morning, or yesterday morning, we did do an inspection of the lighting. It is in, it is operating. That was the 7 o'clock very cold inspection. But the lights are in and operating. Pat Armstrong is reviewing the agreement. Again, it was an issue of trying to get it on the agenda because the lights are up and operating at this point. So I'm recommending that the board authorizes Chris Chrisman to execute the agreement once it's acceptable to the township's legal counsel.
Questions for Chuck on this item?
Chuck, I know you mentioned on here that HE&R is able to put on banners on those light posts. but the township is too, correct? Like, if we wanted to advertise something like the New Year's Eve celebration or community center memberships or something along those lines, since those are now the townships, we'd also be allowed to do that.
Yes. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks. If it's okay if Dave answers that.
Yeah. David Schutte, who represent HGNR in this matter. After we had the Zoom call, when was that, about 3 weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, I sent a revised agreement to Pat probably about a week and a half ago or so, maybe a week ago. And that agreement revises the banner provision to say that HGNR may put banners up and shall reasonably cooperate with the township and other community organizations to allow the banners from the township and community organizations to go up temporarily as well.
Yeah, it would just be the township would be. It would be reasonably cooperating with us because.
Yeah, there, I would agree. Like, I don't know how you would want to manage that if, you know, some 501, if some 501c3 had a 5K or something.
I think the precise language is that we will cooperate with the township, for the township to place banners and community organizations to place banners. We're not going to cooperate with community organizations, but if there's a community organization that the township would like to have their HR, we'll cooperate.
You use New Year's Eve as an example. That's not a township event. That's run by a group of community volunteers. So if that group wanted to put banners up, they would come to the township. The township would talk to HGNR, and we'd work out the timing to get those banners up. Is that a good example?
Yes, I think that's a great example.
I'm wondering, David, if the word cooperate is rather than cooperate, the word should be coordinate, because coordinate would make it appear as if it will happen. I feel like cooperate sounds like they could still say no to us,
coordinate is perfectly fine with me.
I always think of these agreements like we're all here and somebody else is reading.
I always call it the hit by the bus syndrome, where if you and I get hit by a bus, then we know what this agreement would mean. It's difficult to put some of this into words because it's going to be on just a case-by-case friendly basis, basically, and that was the intent from the beginning.
But if the lights or the town are turned over to the township, wouldn't the township have the final say in that?
That was what we discussed during the call as well. I don't think the township wants to have the approval rights over the banners on the lights, and for a very, very long time, the banners along 422 have been HGNR's, and we're just continuing that trend along Park Boulevard. And the township has really had no involvement in those banners on 422 on the piss lights.
And the township may not want to have much interest in it moving forward, to be frank.
Correct.
But just wants to have the ability to.
Absolutely. And not have
to ask a lot of permission. If all of a sudden we want to put banners up on those lights, that it can be.
And that was the intent of the word cooperation, but if you want to change that to coordination, I think that works well too.
And the suggested motion is that we, as Chuck, as you read it, is that we approve it subject to approval of Township Legal Counsel. So some of the language can still be modified after tonight to reflect what we're discussing.
Yeah, I think the provision we just talked about, we can wordsmith that and make it make sense from the township standpoint. One important thing to take note, because the substance of it is that when the lights are handed over to the township, the township is going to be responsible for the maintenance, the electricity costs going forward, and the operation of those lights going forward. And so long as the board's okay with that, I think the lion's share of that document is going to be okay. It's just being plain with words. And one thing I wanted to talk to David about, we don't have to do it tonight, as to whether or not there is a need to include the right-of-way where the lights are within the right-of-way of the township, as opposed to just have this for the easement area from HGNR and Hershey's property.
Well, I think the
We can talk through that.
Well, I think the temporary easement, temporary construction easement.
No, I'm not talking about the temporary.
Well, then the easement area, the only easements that are then being granted are to the township. So if it's within the township right-of-way already, then you don't need an easement. The only easement...
I understand that. What I'm saying with these specific provisions would make more sense just to be specific to the locations that are within the E's property, of the H&R property, and the Hershey property.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you want to... Yeah, give me what you're thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Any other thoughts or questions or comments?
The cost, I know we had talked about this in the meeting. My understanding is the cost for these operating these lights is very low, correct?
Yes, because they're LED fixtures, so the electricity used to power them would be a lot less if you were using a traditional halogen bulb.
And this comes not from the streetlight fund, but it comes from the general fund?
Correct.
Okay, so that was it.
And I guess it also behooves mentioning that H&R did spend over $300,000 putting in the lights.
Understood. And they are lovely. And I know as a mom of daughters that walk over there, the lights are a welcome addition and a huge upgrade in safety. I just wanted to make it clear that it's not very expensive to operate them.
No.
I'd like to make a comment after you take a vote.
Sure. All right. Well, then
it has nothing to do with the
subject. Is there a motion?
Sure. I'll offer the motion to the board. Authorizes Township Manager Christopher Christman to execute the sidewalk light agreement condition official upon the final review by our solicitors.
Motion made by Ms. Court. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zanuda. Is there any further comment or question? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the motion passes.
I drove up Boulevard. The lights are wonderful. I love them. I appreciate Hershey working with the township to increase the safety of guests and our residents in town. Mm-hmm. I was at Chocolate Way the other day, and driving home along Chocolate Way Boulevard on the sidewalk, I noticed there are no lights along that entire stretch.
Okay.
I know it's not anything that we can do anything with you guys. This is for you to your company to work with and fix up. But if we want to continue that safe corridor that's been talked about for the last year or so, my opinion is that you guys should put lights along that Chocolate Way or Chocolate Road Way.
Chocolate Road Way. A little background. I'm sure you guys are aware. The Chocolate World property is owned by the Hershey Company. And when Park Boulevard, the old Park Boulevard, was vacated, most of that became an easement shared between H&R and the Hershey Company. I can definitely take it back to folks at H&R for a discussion about adding some lighting there.
I would like to see that, but that's, we can do very little about that as a township because it is your property.
It's all private property now, yeah.
But it would be nice to continue that safe corridor because that's what you guys have been talking about. Rerouting the walking traffic through the Chocolate World area into Hershey Park. It's starting to pitch there.
Yeah.
So that would be wonderful if you could do that. And I'm sure the township and the citizens would appreciate that. As Natalie said up here, she really appreciates that because her daughter walks that way all the time.
Yeah, I'll take that back to Chris Brown. I mean, there are a lot of H&R projects that got put on just pure breaks.
No, I understand. That was even mentioned when we were...
Yeah.
I mean, I've been playing with this thing along the Boulevard for 3 years.
Right.
I guess I apologize because it didn't occur to me to even consider Chocolate Way.
Okay, yeah. I'll definitely around about it and see what we can come up with.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right.
Let us know if something comes up.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yes,
thank you.
All right, thank you, everyone. That'll bring us to L219-226, which is the acceptance of financial security for post-construction stormwater management plan for 64 Lucy Avenue, S-2021-025.
Chuck? Thank you. Chairman, this plan was submitted to detail the design of stormwater management facilities for a new dwelling, driveway, sidewalk, and 234 square feet of future impervious cover. The applicant and the property owner is McNulty Company. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $7,203 is to be provided. The applicant has provided the security and has entered into our standard agreement related to security for stormwater management facilities. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accept the financial security in the amount of $7,203 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with the McNulty Company for the post-construction stormwater management plan for 64 Lucy Avenue, S-2021-025.
Good. Any questions for Chuck? Again, make a motion that we accept the financial security for the post-construction stormwater management plan for 64 Lucy Avenue. It's the financial security amount of $7,203 in the form of a Harco National Insurance Company bond, number 079541. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The last item under new business is M227-246, the consideration of a letter of acknowledgement to move the Derry Township compost facility to land adjacent to the landfill along Gravel Hill Road. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Earlier this month, we were made aware by the Dauphin County Conservation District that they had some concerns about the current operation of our composting facility. You see the wind roads along Hershey Park Drive and Spring Creek that is in a floodway area. What we try to do, Mr. Clark and I, try to brainstorm a little bit about where a suitable location could be if we were to move the operation to get it out of a floodway so that the potential of contamination of the waters of the Commonwealth would occur. Land was identified immediately adjacent to our existing landfill on Gravel Hill Road. That is out of a floodway. So we took it upon ourselves to contact Mr. Gall, who's here tonight as well. The trust company has decided that through this letter of acknowledgement that our already existing lease agreement for the landfill addresses the issues of composting adequately. And we're mutually acknowledging with one another that if we were to move our operation there, it could stay there in perpetuity, and certainly we would follow any requirements under DEP to make sure that we're processing the compost correctly. So tonight, what I'm asking for is that the board at least consider authorizing me to sign that letter, acknowledging the processing of compost material at the Gravel Hill location, certainly subject to any changes that the solicitor may have as well.
Questions for Mr. Crispin on this item? And if not, we can entertain a motion.
I'll go ahead and make the motion that the Board of Supervisors authorize the Township Manager to execute the letter of acknowledgement for the processing of compost materials at the Gravel Hill Road landfill site.
Thank you. Motion made by Ms. Court. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any further discussion?
Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion,
which authorizes the Township Manager to execute the letter of acknowledgement for the processing of compost materials at the Gravel Hill Road landfill site, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the motion passes. Thank you. And that will conclude new business for this evening's meeting. The next item will be supervisor, board, or committee reports. Start with Mr. Smuda, the supervisor, board, or committee report.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Nutt and I had a transportation meeting this morning. It was a long meeting, as usual, but a number of things were discussed, but most of it was just catching up on normal business. A couple of things did come up, though, that might be of interest to the public. As we've discussed, the Park Boulevard lights are on and operating. And again, they did a very good job of it. It's really nice. We discussed further the Greater Hershey Transportation Study. We're working towards a long-term plan for that. And we continue discussions concerning the intersections at Governor and Homestead and Cocoa and Governor, which brings me to a request to the board. HRG did a preliminary study at the corner of Governor and Cocoa, a traffic study to see if left turn lights would be useful there. And they said there's a good argument for it, but they would need to do an official study. That would cost the township an extra $2,800 on a contract that we already have with them. I'm here to ask if I can get board approval to have Mr. Crispin authorize HRG to move forward.
Do we need a motion for that, or is it something that has to be placed on the agenda for a motion, or could we just authorize?
So, this isn't an agenda item. The Sunshine Act was amended not too long ago. Board can either do one of two things. If you want to move forward with what he's proposing, you could just put it on a future agenda to take action on, or you could first make a motion tonight to amend the agenda to include that item on the agenda to vote on, and then take a motion. It seems silly, but that's what the Sunshine Act says. You'd have to pass a motion to amend the agenda tonight, and in the event that you pass such a motion, then you can then vote.
But then there are posting provisions that you'll have to be familiar with. Is this of the essence? Is time of the essence such that we can
wait a few weeks?
Put it on the agenda for the next meeting?
Well, the next meeting with business is probably going to be the end of next month.
If I say this, if we can limit the January 3rd meeting to only something like this as new business, we could handle it. This is something we could do really quickly.
Yeah, this would be more of an administrative function for the board at its reorg meeting. I don't see there being a lot of time and discussion, unless, of course, there is a support to spend the additional $2,800 for the full-blown traffic study.
Are you okay with that?
I'm okay.
Did that work out?
I don't think anything's going to get done between now and then.
Probably not on this, but I think generally people are probably supportive. So Chris, if you would just see to it that we add this item to the agenda for January 3rd in our significantly reduced new business section of the agenda for that meeting.
You were looking square at me. I don't have anything on that agenda.
I think we had a bad experience either last year or the year before with a lot of items. I understand sometimes that, so I'm just joking.
Anyway, that's all.
Thank you very much. We'll get that on the agenda. Thank you very much.
No more committee reports since last time, but I will mention that Hershey Area All-Women's Diversity has an event scheduled for January 12th from 7 to 8:30. Where Joseph Robinson, the gentleman who was here a few weeks ago, to talk about diversity and disparity in our county and our communities. He's going to be the speaker talking about Martin Luther King Jr. So public's invited to attend. That is free. And other than that, I just want to wish everybody a very happy and safe holiday season.
Thank you.
Supervisor Zmuda gave the report for the Transportation Committee, and I had no other boards or committees that have met since our last meeting.
And I agree. I feel like I'm repeating. None of the committees I sit on met since the last meeting. I would just say before, as we wrap up supervisor board committee reports, we are not we have not forgotten that this is Ms. Court's last meeting. So at the conclusion of departmental reports and visitor comment, we have our own presentation. So please stick around for that. But I didn't want anybody to think we were missing, like that we had forgotten. So
you know, I would have said one word if I knew that wasn't coming. So.
So with that, we'll move on to departmental reports. Lieutenant Roach for the police department.
Yes, two things, Mr. Chairman. Susan, on behalf of the Madam of the police department, we thank you for your support over the years. I remember numerous times and weather events, working with you to help you facilitate communications out to the public. I thank you for that. And
all the other support for our department. So best of luck to you in the future. Mr. Chairman, the chief asked me to give a second report on the recent school threats nationwide. So if you don't mind, I'll read his statement. Last week, trending TikTok posts went viral, indicating that Friday, December 17th, was to be National School Shooting Day. An initial post may have indicated that there were plans to have shootings happen across the nation in our educational facilities. There were no credible threats found against any of our local schools, but due to the social media trends and media coverage of this particular event, we were in contact with our local schools all of last week. We worked together with them to ensure the safety of our students and staff at all of our schools, both public and parochial. Received this week, or particularly today, we received several pieces of correspondence from the officials of our local schools, thanking our department for the presence that we had. We did take a proactive omnipresence of all of our public and parochial schools here in the township. We did receive correspondence from those school officials thanking us for our proactivity.
No doubt. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Any Hershey Volunteer Fire Company, Mr. Sassy?
Hi, good evening. It's nice to be back for
a day.
I missed almost a month, so it's nice to be here. I also want to just echo one to Supervisor Court. Thank you from the fire department for all you've done for us over the years. We appreciate that very much. We wish you the best as well. Just to final, the Santa runs this year were quite successful. We had a good time with that. This is the fourth year we used a tracker that folks could sign on and actually watch Santa drive around the township. Our peak was 902 followers on Sunday. So it was quite successful to have that there. And thank you all from the board for a great year and this continued support to the fire department.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sassen. Public Works, Mr. Clark.
I don't really have anything to report, just to wish Supervisor Court well in the future.
The library will be closed on Friday, December 24th, and Saturday, December 25th. We wish everyone a very happy holiday season with their loved ones. And Supervisor Court, I look forward to working with you on the All Things Diversity. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Parks and Rec, Doc Jackson.
I'll keep the love going for Susan Court. Thank you, Susan, for all your help with the capital campaign with the community center project, obviously huge help, so huge thank you for that. Community center update for this evening. The slides have been constructed and decking around the indoor leisure pool has been completed. The asphalt binder coat was put on the entrance driveway earlier today, and they are putting down stone for the sidewalks in the area of Cocoa Castle. Our basketball net systems and gym divider have been installed, and our gym flooring also arrived earlier today. Some upcoming work in the next few weeks will be the shotcrete on our Latin competition pool walls and the installation of the outdoor shade structures. We did have some design work completed with our facility logo, which we're pleased with how that turned out. There's a look at that for the supervisors. And one last plug before the holidays. We're still running our annual membership special and selling gift cards. We're up to around 400 members at this point, and we hope that more of our residents will be able to take advantage of that special offer.
That's all good news, Zach. Thank you.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work on that, and we'll try our best not to come over from tours to distract you.
Anytime. We're over there playing, so it's not a burden.
Township Engineer, Mr. Bonanno.
I put a very, very short report for you today, Mr. Chairman. Since we do a lot of our work behind the scenes with Chuck's department, just a summary of some of the work we did this year. Had over 1,000 man hours supporting community development, interviewing plans, went through 10 sketch plans, subdivision plans, land development plans through the Planning Commission this year, reviewed with staff 28 stormwater plans that we processed, and had 35 sites were inspected in the township for improvements of those stormwater plans and land plans. So very busy, over 1,000 hours, but it's always great to work with Chuck and his staff, and we hopefully stay in the behind the scene. That's where we like to be, and keep things moving in the township. Susan, absolute pleasure working with you with your term, so best of luck, and happy holidays to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Matt. Community development, Tremor.
I guess I should talk to Susan as well. Thank you so much for all the help and support you've given my department with Downtown Hershey Association, with reviewing my articles for the e-news. I may still send you some. Thank you for your 6 years supporting the township.
And last but not least, Township Manager, Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Continue the love, Susan. Thank you so much for all your efforts on behalf of my staff here, and you heard it tonight. And you know, giving your time for 6 years is impressive, you know, to make your community better. So thank you. Thank you for believing in me and making me part of this team 3 years ago. So I'm happy that I'm here and hopefully contributing to the greater good of Derry Township. And so I just wish you well. You know, enjoy your time. And as you go back to private life, thank you very much for your help.
All right, thank you, Chris. So at this time, I'll open up the podium back up to the floor for public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board, put comment into the record, this is the time to do so. All right, if not, we will move to the next item, which is not on the agenda, but I promised earlier. What we'd like to do is certainly want to offer the floor to Susan for any remarks she'd like to give. And then we have a small presentation for her as a small token of our appreciation for her service. But after Susan has done speaking, we'll take some, offer some board members an opportunity to say goodbye as well. And then I'd like Susan to come down off in the front and have a presentation. So.
That's very nice. Thank you very much, everyone. When I realized that the only thing standing between you all going home and starting the holidays are my remarks, and it's just a couple pages. No, it's just two. And I usually don't write things out when I come to speak, but I want to make sure not to forget anything. So thanks for indulging me for a few minutes. But as you know, tonight is my last meeting as a Derry Township supervisor. It's really hard to believe that I've served the community in this role for 6 years. Time flies, but on the other hand, sometimes these 6 years have felt like dog years, and a lot longer, as my fellow supervisors can attest. But I am extremely grateful for having had this opportunity to help shape and guide our community. It's been a real honor to serve and make our township, I think, an even better place for our residents. It hasn't always been easy. There have been plenty of challenges I faced as a board member, but when things got tough, I remembered why I ran for office in the first place. I wanted to take my passion for serving others to benefit the community I love. I'm proud to have served on a number of boards and committees and also to have led the township's communications efforts over the last 6 years. Throughout the years, I feel I've made fair decisions, some of them tough ones, based on the facts and the parameters of this position. I believe I've served as a voice of reason and helped mitigate conflict on many occasions. Someone recently told me that I helped him learn a lot about patience, generosity, and politeness as a supervisor. And if I did nothing else, I'm pleased to have had that kind of impact on people. Someone who was recently considering running for supervisor recently asked me what my greatest challenge and my greatest joy was as being a supervisor. I thought about it for a minute, and then I quickly answered, "That's easy, it's the same thing. It was the community center project. It was definitely my greatest challenge and also my greatest joy. Perhaps because it was both because I both fought hard for the project against some very difficult obstacles and because I believed so much in its value to our community. I dedicated much of my time as supervisor leading our capital campaign, and despite the challenges and changes with the project, and of course COVID, we were able to raise $2.8 million. My thanks again to all the generous donors for supporting our community center, and I'm going to buy my membership tonight as a gift to myself, so make it 401, Zach. My thanks to all my fellow board members for their passion for our community and their service. I wish you all a lot of luck in the years ahead as you continue to serve. I'd also like to thank the entire staff, including former Township Manager Jim Nagley and former Assistant Township Manager Jill Henry. You have all, every single one of you, made my experience as a supervisor something really special, and something that I'm going to miss. Can't look at you. To Tim, Lieutenant Roach, to Chief Warner, and the Derry Township Police Department, thank you very much for your partnership. I've enjoyed working with you on communicating issues to the residents, and our community is so lucky to have all of you keeping us safe each and every day, so thank you. To Dave Sassaman and the Hershey Volunteer Fire Department, thank you for working together and sharing the news with the community, and also for your department's undying dedication for protecting our community. Tom Clark, Bob Piccolo, and staff, thank you for always keeping, each and every day, keeping our township clean, clear, and safe, for your friendship and partnership over 30 years, and for driving in the Halloween parade and making us chase you down the street. So. To Allison, while we've only worked together for a short time, I'm grateful for all you do for the library, and I'm so very glad, as you mentioned, that we'll have a chance to work together and Hershey Area All Things Diversity. To Zach and former Parks and Recreation Director Matt Mandia, we've probably worked together the most closely over the years, and I just want to thank you for your dedication, your calm demeanor, and your care for our community. And I hope that you enjoy the new center and are proud of all you have done, Zach. Matt and HRG, you've always been great partners to our township, and you provide solid guidance to the supervisors and our staff. Thank you. I appreciate your friendship as well. To Chuck and the community development staff, thank you, Bing. Thank you for keeping a watchful eye over the growth and the feel of our township. Our community is extremely lucky to have you in this role. It's apparent that you love this community, Chuck. Aren't you? and that you want the best for its residents, so thank you for that. To Pat and his team, thank you for your incredible knowledge. I have learned so much just in the short time that you've been with us. And you always give us solid advice, and our township is in really good hands with your firm, so appreciate all you do. Huge thank you, he's not here, but a huge thank you to IT manager Brian Blash. I've had the pleasure of working with Brian on the weekly email newsletter, the website, all the diversity events, and you may not see him very often, but I can tell you Brian is an extraordinary asset to the township, and I'm definitely miss working with him. Julie, thank you for suffering through these meetings with us and keeping it all straight so that we can look back and know what you said. So, thank you. Hopefully, we appreciate seeing your smiling face. And last but not least, thanks to our township manager, Chris Christman. I appreciate your partnership and your friendship, Chris, and our community is in extraordinarily good hands. So I appreciate all that you do. I'd also like to say thank you to the residents who have shared their concerns with the board over the years, because you are all a part of the success of the township. And I think he's gone, but to Mike Corrado, I'd like to wish him good luck as supervisor. He's going to be a very steady voice on this board, and I know he'll do a great job. I'd also like to thank my dear friends and my wonderful husband, who's sitting in the back, for their support over the years. They've grounded me in tough times and celebrated with me in good times, and I could not have done this without you on my side. And finally, I encourage everyone, the board, the staff, the public, to continue to be kind, be thoughtful, and be respectful. Listen to each other, learn from each other, build good lines of communication, keep an open mind, think independently, and make the decisions that continue to make our community a place that we're all proud to call home. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all I got for you. Thanks. You've been great. We're going to miss you.
Well, Susan, I would say placing your name on the ballot for anyone can be very difficult, and it's also the closest form of government to the people. So you lose a lot of your privacy when you're at the grocery store, and anyone can see from this meeting how many issues that this township tackles each week, and learning all of those issues and trying to be an expert and making the right decision can be really overwhelming. So I just want to say thank you for 6 years of learning the issues, being there, and serving the local residents. It can be hard to do, and you've done it with ease, looks like, at least from the outside.
Thank you, and then you all as well. So I'm very impressed with the board and how each person's kind of found their niche here, which is important. Not everybody has to be an expert in everything, but it's sort of a collective power of the board that makes it work. So, thank you.
Well, I'm going to put you down so I can present you with this. Mr. Chrisman's going to take a picture, and then I will say my comments. I should have an hour or two of comments. Snap pictures, and we'll take a still one, but I'm presenting this to Susan, in grateful appreciation for all that you've done for the township, for the citizens of Derry Township, for all of us in this room, thank you very much. 6 years can seem like it's an eternity, and I know that you know that when you got on the board, you probably couldn't even anticipate most of the issues and challenges that awaited you for 6 years. And I think I will echo what Natalie said. You comported yourself with grace and with dignity, and you do make it look easy up here. And I know, because you're always correcting me up here.
Just once a meeting.
But you do. You've done a great job in the service to the community, and you are a credit to our community. So thank you on behalf of the entire board of supervisors and everybody on the staff and for the community.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Hopefully you're all looking the right way.
It's like
prom pictures. You know? Thank you, everyone.
Appreciate the good work of the staff. It would be remiss if I did not say to the entire team here, thank you for a great job this year from all of us. It is hard every day, and you guys, men and women in this room, make it really look easy 99% of the time. And to the public, for coming to our meetings, it's important that the public comes to our meetings. It's a good checks and balance on us, you know, keeps us on our toes, and it's important. But overall, great job by everybody this year. We look forward to starting, it's hard to say, 2022. We'll do so without Susan. We'll pick up Mike Corrado. But, you know, the business of the township will go on, and we look forward to reassembling on January 3rd. So happy holidays to everybody. Please have a safe holiday season. Happy New Year, everything.
Just one more thing I should correct you on. We need to take a motion to
adjourn. Yeah.
I was just about to do it. So, with that, we will accept. How about Susan? Would you make a motion?
I will happily make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Motion to adjourn made by Ms. Court. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Zmuda. All in favor, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Hearing none. Meeting is adjourned. So, thank you, everybody.